This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and you're listening or watching the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 362 for October 7th, 2014. It's 4 o'clock Central Daylight Time. And joining me at 4 o'clock every Tuesday afternoon, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin, and welcome to October. I dressed in my pumpkin orange today to celebrate the new month, and the leaves are turning.
And I'm still wearing golf shirts, denying the fact that fall is here. But we're doing a little testing in the office. We're trying to get the temperature to kind of even out, and got my thermometer here. 71 in my office. Sally, before the show started, you said, that's not cold.
That's very pleasant.
I can see my breath. This Californian can see his breath at 71, so it needs to be. I need to add on about 5, 6, 7 degrees for that to be comfortable. So,
well, we'll hope that you don't get frostbite today, Martin.
If you hear this little chattering sound,
that would be your teeth. Huh?
That would be me. Yeah, that will be me. Anyway, maybe we can warm things up a little bit with the topic. About a month and a half ago or so, we opened up this little survey to pastors and asked them to tell us about their tech. And this is the first of two parts to this reveal of what they said. So I don't remember how many respondents we got. It was not insignificant. It was a number of pastors who responded. I think some of them were truly eager to share what they used based on their responses. Others were probably very eager to win this, the HymnSoft Player 3.0 from Northwestern Publishing House. And we'll do that drawing next month, hopefully when we have Carl Nolte on to talk a little bit about HymnSoft and then give this little guy away. But we do appreciate each and every entry. So we're going to take half of the questions this week and then half next month.
Great. And we, I think we had 7 questions, so that's really hard to divide in half. So we're going to take 4 of the questions this month, and we just kind of divvied those up. And the first one on my list, Martin, is to talk about Bible study and sermon prep tools. And that's a great place to start with pastors, and we got some great responses. I would say pretty overwhelmingly, the most votes were for Logos, the Logos Bible study tool and all the
modules.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yep, books, all of that that come along with that. So currently, the current version is Logos 5. Some people are using previous versions, haven't upgraded completely to the current version, but it was definitely the favorite, second favorite, Bible Works.
Before we leave Logos, I just talked to Logos today, just as a little tease, and they're very interested in maybe having a presence at our Wells Tech conference coming up, which is in next July, July 9th to 11th. So talk to Philana Crouch at Logos, and sounds like they're going to come with some good stuff and a 20% discount on products for conference attendees. So how about that?
That's awesome. Thanks for making that connection for us.
Thanks to Aaron Fry, who made the connection for us.
Awesome. Sounds like it'll be.
He's also one of our respondents, I believe.
Yeah. I think Aaron said he uses Logos. Imagine that. Uh-huh. But there were some in the Bible Works camp, and that was probably the second most popular Bible study software listed, I think, perhaps more popular with Mac users, if I'm remembering correctly.
Works is the Mac product. I think Bible Works is on both sides.
It is on both sides. You're right. So one comment, and I'm trying to look at my notes here, from Pastor Stephen Daly. He said it's super fast, and he likes the note-taking application that's part of BibleWorks, he feels like it's more stable than the Logos note-taking application.
So, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then there were a slew of website study tools. I just opened a few of them on my computer. One called BibleHub.com. That must be the only one I opened on my computer. GreekBible.com. Bible Gateway was mentioned, and BibleStudyTools.com. That one looked kind of interesting, BibleStudyTools.com. You got searching and verse of the day and commentaries and note-taking built into it as well.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, but it was it Bible Study Tools that was one of the last sites to still have the old NIV available?
I think you're right.
Bible study something. And someone mentioned, that's still the case.
Okay. Someone mentioned the mobile app from Olive Tree, which is their favorite Bible study app. They specifically mentioned the Android version, but I would guess the iOS version is very similar. They're on both platforms. So perhaps if you've gone mobile, this might be one to look at for Bible study. And then there was, interestingly, from a tech survey, there were a lot of people that responded that they use books, and they haven't gotten away from their Fransman or their People's Bible or their Greek New Testament. Some people mentioned using ebook versions on Kindle devices, but a lot of people in favor of just using traditional books. And then along with mentioning their Bible study tools, there were a lot of note-taking tools mentioned, like Evernote, OneNote, Dropbox. Somebody mentioned XMind mind mapping, and just how they use those in companion role to their Bible study. So as they're developing things, they take notes in an external note-taking tool as opposed to right there in the Bible study tool. And one person in particular said they like working in the cloud. They can work from home. They can work from the coffee shop, wherever they may be, on their sermon preparation or whatever the task is at hand. So, so we got a little bit of a mixture, the tools and the note-taking kind of combined in this category.
Well, were there any reasons given why books were listed there in a technology survey? Just the convenience, the smell, the what?
Yeah. And people just said they were old school, they liked their books. And
a pastor's library is a very personal thing.
Right. And perhaps, you know, some of that note-taking that happened in books before there were technology tools, and you continue to grow that, you know, have it converted,
I have a Bible,
digitized it.
In fact, I have a Bible right here.
Oh, grab it.
My old Concordia Self-Study Bible, which helped me through seminary and such, which you can open up almost any page and see notes and highlighting and whatever that... I have not ever transferred any place, even though I had good intentions to do that. Now, I probably have notes in a lot of different places at this point, in the paper book, Bible in this case, and also in, I do take notes in like YouVersion, so you can take notes there that are probably kind of trapped there, but that's the tool I use when I'm doing Bible lookup. I don't do serious text study at this point anymore, but... that's kind of my go-to place to jot stuff down, because the mobile version works really well for that, too.
Right, and interestingly, no one specifically mentioned YouVersion. I guess maybe they're taking it a step beyond just look up and reading as we're polling pastors, but YouVersion is a very popular mobile Bible, and no one mentioned that. In addition, nobody mentioned the GLO Bible except to say that Logos works better than the GLO Bible. I think one person said that, but
yeah.
A lot of interest with the GLO Bible, but I think it's more of a layman's kind of tool for Bible
study.
Well,
I've used the GLO Bible in Bible study when I'm doing Bible study or leading Bible study, because I use some of the assets that are in it. The maps are really good, the timelines. They've got good imagery, that kind of thing. You even have some virtual reality kinds of fly-in. So I took people through the Solomon's Temple, those kind of things. So I think it has application there. But that's probably not germane to this specific question. We were asking, really asking about Bible study, probably mm-hmm. personal Bible study or Bible prep and sermon prep. So,
so that's the responses topic? We got there. Yep.
Okay. My little contribution to our conversation was around productivity and planning. And this was real overwhelmingly top heavy with kind of like three categories, but in those categories, Google played a huge part. So it seems like whenever we're talking about trying to be productive and trying to be an effective planner, collaborate with others, the Google Drive, Google Docs, Google Sheets, those were all mentioned as things that were part of our the workflow. Now, the people that responded to this survey, the pastors that responded to this survey are probably tech-leaning, so it's not surprising that they went cloud-based, and Google's probably got the best, be one of the best suite of tools for that kind of thing. But like you mentioned, Sally, there were a lot of references to note-taking tools, too. And we've talked about Evernote, we've talked about OneNote. In fact, we had a whole show comparing those products and tools. So those were referenced probably 20 to 30% of the time as well in the productivity side. And I think one of the things that was referenced in some of the responses was they like them because they have mobile versions. So you have them wherever you are, especially with tablets. And I think that's becoming more and more the norm as pastors are thinking about how to kind of unchain themselves from their desktop computer, even their bigger laptops. The tablets are taking a more prominent role in the pastor's workflow and pastor's office.
Well, just that cloud-based aspect to it. So you can use your tablet, and you can sit down at your computer and have access to it. So
exactly. Another item that was mentioned, a couple of items that I was kind of surprised to see, were just pure project management entries. One of them was something called Trello, which let me see if I can do a quick screen share of that for those of you tuning in. That's interesting. Now I've got a little pop-up. I don't know if that's kind of new here in Google Hangouts. It says, your screen sharing. Stop or present to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. That makes it easier to get back and jump back in. Mm-hmm. So Trello is kind of a visual card-based solution for project management. There's an example of it. There's lots of different ways that you can manage a project. And that's what Trello is good at. The other one was Basecamp. And Basecamp is a tool that the Wells Hymnal Committee is using for their project management. So it's more of a traditional, but it's still a web-based application where you can create notes and attach documents and have discussion forums and calendars and checklists and to-do lists and all those kinds of things. So it's actually a very full-featured tool that a lot of people use for project management, especially in technology circles. But I found it interesting that that there are some that are using it for planning, for church planning, for worship planning, for Bible study planning, VBS planning, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I guess I'd see maybe that kind of thing being more appropriate for a group planning as opposed to personal.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not going to use, well, you could.
It would be overkill, I would think.
Definitely Basecamp would be overkill. Trello can be a personal productivity tool, but I would think that's even a stretch. The other things that were mentioned in this category were calendar-based. A lot of people reference Google Calendar. Some reference the use of iCal or Fantastical, which I think is a Mac-based product. Mind mapping was also mentioned once. XMind was the particular product that was referenced. And then just good old-fashioned web-based or app-based to-do lists, like any.do, which we've talked about in the past. One that I hadn't heard of before called Slack. Slack was kind of billed as a, I think a very visually appealing tool that allows for mobile use. Yeah, I think it's kind of a new startup, and I'm going to take a closer look at it. But it's, again, around team communication as well. So that's probably a majority of this productivity planning category that we heard from, those three categories, kind of the general Google Drive stuff, the note-taking and note-taking stuff, project management stuff, and then the task list stuff. So,
I like the name Slack. I like that name, Slack. Cut me some slack. That would be the way to approach project management. I don't know.
I think their what is their tagline here? I don't think they have a track. Slack is a platform for team communication, everyone in one place, instantly searchable, available wherever you go. So.
Okay.
Next category, Sally.
That would be me and member and prospect management. So this is managing all that data that flows through the church office. And interestingly, one pastor responded that they take care of that data in the church office, and I can't get access to it. They can't even export it for him. And so I would think you need a better member management solution if the pastor can't get access to the data. But it's hard. I know it is. In this one, we probably got more varied responses than in any of the other areas. The most common things that were mentioned were Shepherd Staff and Church 360 Member, which are both products of Concordia Technology Solution. We've talked with Peter Frank from Concordia before on the show, Martin. We've been through training on Shepherd Staff and trained others on Shepherd Staff. It's certainly a viable database product. It uses Access, Microsoft Access, kind of on the back end. You don't really deal with Access. You deal with screens to input data and things. But it does have the ability to kind of customize your data, put your own flavors. So, for instance, if you have elders and you divide up your congregation by elders and things like that, you can make Shepherd Staff and I'm sure Church 360 Member work for you for custom data elements like that. The variance came from the fact that there were many web-based solutions shared. And I have a couple up on my screen. I'll just share my screen real quick. One was called Realm. I hadn't heard of that before, but it's from ASC Technologies. Church software will never be the same. Connect your congregation and multiply your ministry. Another, Salesforce, we've talked about that before, more generic online database platform that could be customized, you know, for church needs or whatever. And then another one, Active Fellowship One, powers dynamic churches. So it's cloud-based management software solution. And that's just a few of them. There were others that were mentioned in the survey as well. So I think the trend, just like our friends at Concordia Technology with their Church 360 members, is that everyone's looking to go to the cloud with their databases. And so if you're on the cusp of getting a new database for your congregation, I would certainly suggest looking at that possibility and evaluating web-based member management tools.
Yep.
There was a pretty significant number of people that also did it themselves.
Yeah, I was going to guess with our crowd, there's probably a lot of DIYers.
Yeah. So one person just said it's a homemade system. They didn't go into details, but it's homemade. Some people mentioned Excel and Access, so Microsoft products. And then there was the whole Google contingency, the Google Drive, Google Sheets, Google Contacts. Kind of integrating all those different tools. I think it was Pastor Rob Gunther who said they're easy, free, online, and secure. So why would you not use Google products to do what you need to do with your member management? So one person also mentioned MailChimp, which I thought was interesting because MailChimp does have the ability to, you know, store your data there. Typically, you do an export maybe from your member management system to get your members into MailChimp so you can communicate with them. But actually relying on MailChimp for your database, I think, might be a little problematic. I don't know. But certainly it's a place where you want to keep that data up to date and that kind of thing. So all over the board, but seems like the cloud is the way to go for member management.
Yep. Interesting. And that's a very fluid space, as I think even some of the traditional member management vendors are looking at how to web, you know, get on the web and provide that in a cloud-based solution. So.
Right. And there's the whole, you know, mobile app development around that. I don't know if Church 360 members has a mobile app. I can't remember the answer.
I don't believe so. It might be mobile friendly, but there's no mobile component as far as I know.
Yeah. So there's still more to come, I'm sure, as more development is done in this area.
Yep. Makes sense. All right, the last category we're going to cover is one about what kind of presentation resources do you use? And this one was a very clear winner. Good old PowerPoint was the by far, you know, 60 to 70% of all respondents said they use good old-fashioned PowerPoint. And some would say, boy, is that boring, but you go with what you know and what gets the job done. And PowerPoint, Microsoft has made some nice improvements to the product over the years. And if somebody asked me what should I use, that's the one that I suggest to people for either classroom presentations or even in worship. You know, that's a good product that's easy to use and has a lot of plugins now. And they even have, you know, cloud-based versions that you can use. So PowerPoint, there's no shame in using PowerPoint if you use it effectively, if you use it the right way, of course. Distant second were a whole host of different other options, including things we've talked about on the show before. Google Slides was mentioned. Keynote on the Mac was mentioned. Prezi was mentioned by more than just a couple people. And Proclaim, which is a church presentation software, that was mentioned as well, Proclaim Online. They have a good product as well. Mike Hartman responded with a whole suite of things that he uses, not just in the presentation of content, but where to grab some of the content. So he talked about things like Pixabay, free Bible images, Bible illustrations, Creation Swap, SoundJay, GodlyChristianMusic.com, WorshipHouseMedia.com, a creative search engine, just things that are in his little suite of ways to figure out what, where to get some of these resources you can put in a presentation. He talked about Camtasia Studio, Sally, one of your favorite products from the good friends at TechSmith. Snipping tool from the Windows side, Video Scribe, etc. So thanks for the great laundry list of tools there, Mike. But far and away, PowerPoint was the big winner there.
Mike Present, and kudos to him. He uses those tools well. So I just wanted to make mention, you mentioned Proclaim, and I realized I failed to mention that back on the Bible study tools, Pastor Mark Parsons commented that he uses Logos and Proclaim. And when I read that, I had to go look up because I thought I remembered Proclaim as being more of a presentation tool. But apparently, as he's doing his Bible study, he's also perhaps building out his presentation resources to support his sermon and things. So he considers that part of his Bible study prep. So
I wonder if there is an integration between them even. So.
Yeah, well, actually Proclaim is owned by Logos. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense then.
Yeah.
All right, Sally, we're going to do this again next month, and the topics for next month would be mobile apps, gadgets, that's a fun category, and then anything else, which was kind of potluck.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting responses there.
Potluck.
Yeah.
We're going to have Carl Nolte on from MPH to talk about HymnSoft, and we're going to do that giveaway. So
tune in next month, folks.
Yep. Let's move on to news in tech. News in tech this week, probably heard that there was a release of what they call a technical preview for Windows 10. Now, you may think, well, I've heard about Windows
8.
Don't they know how to count over there at Microsoft? I'm not exactly sure why they said Windows 10, but that's the number. It's a nice round number, I guess. They want to get maybe as far away from Windows 8 as they can, or it's two times better. It's not just one rev better. It's two revs better. That kind of explanation. I don't know. They want a fresh start. Although Windows 8 is not a bad product, it got kind of a bad rap because they tried to go too fast with the user interface. So Windows 10 kind of brings back some of those things in with the start menu modifications. If you're so inclined, you can download the Windows 10 technical preview and kick the tires yourself.
Have you done that? Are you that brave?
I have had no time to do that. So me? Oh,
but you would. You just don't have time.
I'm intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 8, actually. So
okay.
Ministry Resources, what's there, Sally, for us?
Well, we found an interesting, I don't know if you'd call it an infographic, it's done on a web page, but it's a description of assimilation of church membership and some interesting statistics that are included here, Martin.
Yep.
91% of your church will never return if you do not have an intentional strategy for assimilation that helps to make disciples. So they give some good tips here. Develop a plan for turning visitors into true disciples. Help people connect, grow, and become involved. And then build relationships and touch lives. And, you know, I can buy into this. You have to feel a part of the community. You have to have those genuine face-to-face relationships to integrate people into your congregation.
And some more than others. Some are of the personality type where they're just going to find people, gravitate toward them. Others are want to keep that anonymity, and you really need to kind of intentionalize the touches that you have with those people, provide opportunities for service. Don't just assume they're going to find their way. Help them find their way. So good resource there from ACS.
Good food for thought for sure.
Yep. Let's move on to our tips or picks of the week.
All right, Martin, I am unveiling for the first time officially the work that I've been preparing for Teacher Conference Tour. I am headed to Michigan tomorrow to present at the Michigan District Teachers Conference, and we're going Google. And so I have put together a web page with a lot of different Google topics and resources represented. And so if you don't get to go to Teachers Conference in Michigan and go Google with me, actually I'll be in Minnesota's Teacher Conference next week doing the same thing. But you can certainly follow along and have access to all the resources that I've developed for that. So hopefully you find it a benefit, even if you're just interested in one of the categories of Google goodness. It's hard to develop Google presentations, Martin, because they change it all the time. So yesterday I put the icing on the cake with my slides presentation, and last night I read an article about how slides now have image editing and filters and things on the images in Google Slides. So I had to go do some editing today to get it even more up to date. So lots of Google goodness going on at Michigan's Teacher Conference. I'll be there Thursday and Friday this week to do these presentations.
So if you had to pick one thing that you're going to be presenting on that you're really excited about, going to be kind of the pinnacle of your presentation, what is it?
I wish there was a pinnacle, because there's like 12 or 14 things I'm going to be presenting on. My favorite thing to do and reveal the teachers is the use of forms in the classroom, and I think that allows you to do some grading of work. You can use it in just so many different creative ways. You can use it for communication. You can use it to, do quick assessments. Just all kinds of things you can do with Google Forms, and unlocking that power, I think, is pretty cool.
Cool. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be over at the OWLS convention tomorrow.
Oh, very good.
A workshop on technology and outreach, and letting the folks there know what resources we have on the Synod level and how they can maybe use them to share the gospel. So looking forward to that. Over in Wisconsin Dells. So I'm going west. You're going east, so we'll just wave to each other on the way over. I'll be on the ground, you'll be on the air. So.
Yep.
My pick is not a pick, it's actually a tip. And I referenced this before when we've talked about productivity. My tip is basically set a time on your calendar every week for what the Getting Things Done crowd calls a weekly review. Just do Getting Things Done weekly review. Just do a Google search. You will find a ton of articles, blog posts, even some that I've written that talk about this. So with all the technology we have and the productivity tools, we had that survey question and we had all kinds of tools that were mentioned. That takes some maintenance. That takes some hygiene, some upkeep. And if you don't pay attention to it, it gets ugly. In fact, it gets out of control because you're throwing all this stuff in there and you think, well, I'll organize it, I'll get to it, I'll make sense of it, I'll use it. You need to purposefully and intentionally design time into your workflow, into your week, where you're going to sit down and you're going to keep that thing up to date. You're going to throw stuff out, you're going to tag stuff, you're going to move stuff, you're going to use stuff, you're going to plan stuff, you're going to put stuff in there that you forgot to put in to keep your system humming along. That's your weekly review. So for me, Sally, my weekly review is almost always Fridays from 1 to 2:30. So I try and carve out 90 minutes every Friday where I don't take calls, I don't schedule meetings, I try and sit down with my computer and my tools and my Google Docs and my Outlook and all the tools that I have, my OneDrive, and I say, is this in the shape that I need it to be in? And I spend some good time with my calendar, make sure everything's on there, make sure that the commitments that I've made to myself and to others are represented there and I have tasks associated with them. So that's what that weekly review is, and I think the more technology you throw at your productivity, the more time you need to spend, in this dedicated weekly review process where you're just kind of keeping things humming along. So that is my tip of the week.
That's a great tip, Martin, and one that is uber hard to carry out. You have to have a lot of self-discipline to stay very motivated to continue your weekly reviews.
Because if you don't do it, Sally, your tools that they're supposed to save you time really don't.
Right.
So your investment, your stewardship in them, out the window. So you guys, getting that oil change. You got to do it every 3 months or every 3,000 miles. So
we're reading this book, What's Best Next, and I think we're going to see a component in his recommendations very similar, a weekly review. So stay tuned for that.
Let's move on to our Wells Insider section.
And we do have...
important, and so perk up, wake up, listen to what Sally has to say.
We do have a new series of videos that we want to share with you from our Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary channel, and these are specifically from a week or so ago when there was the Wells Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Symposium. And perhaps, Martin, you know what the topic of the symposium was. It has to do with preaching, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, mostly, yeah, exactly. So I think there were a bunch of different topics around that. But if you go to the site, you'll get a real flavor in the opening sermon or the opening service and address there, plus the individual vignettes had to deal with sharing that gospel as a practicing preacher.
Very good. So that's your Wells Insider for this week. We also have some need-to-know information, things you might want to write down on your calendar, like the fact that we have a Wells Tech conference next summer, July 9th through 11th. Martin mentioned that earlier. You can go over to wells.net/WellsTechConf to read more about it and reserve those days on your calendar so you can meet the Logos folks and get great discounts.
We are
one of the many things.
We are beginning to kind of wade through all of the suggested topics out there, and there's some really good stuff. I'm really excited about some of the presenters that I think we're going to have and some of the topics that we'll have. Plus, our keynoters are awesome. So.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you need to know that we're taking donations through the Wells Technology Department for iPhone 4s for the African mission field. This is specifically for use with the national pastors in Malawi. And these pastors could benefit greatly from having this technology in their hands and being able to stay in touch this way. Computers, laptops, not real practical out in the bush, in the rough terrain that they cover. But cell phone technology is very prevalent, and having your used iPhone 4s for use in this field would be a big benefit. So we have a link in the show notes where you can learn more about donating your phone. It needs to be certain carriers, Martin, AT&T and T-Mobile.
Right, or just a plain old unlocked GSM phone. It has to be on the GSM network, which is those carriers.
Okay, good to know.
Community feedback.
Right, and via Twitter, our friend Jason Schmidt shared a couple of background generators. So if you're looking for a creative background, perhaps for your blog or some content you're developing, you can go here, you can play with different kind of...
Is that what you use for that little header on your presentation site?
It isn't. That came from free web page headers, but I bet I could use a site like this, and you can certainly, you know, control colors, you can control scale of the imagery that's in the background. There's lots of options here to play with to customize a background, and you can generate a CSS3 version or download wallpaper. So check it out. This one's called ZenBG or Background. And there's another one. I'll have a link in the show notes to Background Patterns Maker. A couple of those that he tweeted to us.
Cool.
Next up, we heard from Kevin Smith, who's at Christ in Zumbrota, Minnesota. And they use MediaShout for their presentation software for worship. But And they own the software and that kind of thing, but in looking at the MediaShout website, he came across a plugin for PowerPoint. So if you're a PowerPoint user and you want to begin to make use of some of the integrated lyric library, Bible translations, and things that make it easier to produce presentations for worship, you might be interested in this MediaShout Bridge. So it doesn't require you to purchase the full MediaShout software. It works within your PowerPoint software to add these features as a plug-in. And currently it's on sale, $30 off for the price of $99. You can buy the MediaShout Bridge. Now, Kevin said they're happy with MediaShout. They haven't used this particular PowerPoint plug-in, but he thought it might be interesting for some of our listeners. So thanks for taking the time to share that, Kevin.
Very good.
And then finally, via Digo, our friend Jason Winjet shared several articles from Church Mag, the online magazine for churches. One titled, Are Nonprofits Taking Tech Seriously Enough? And there's an infographic here about how much we love our technology and how much technology assists in giving. So interesting. Also an article, and I guess I don't have it up. I thought I had a second. There's a couple of articles he shared about emerging trends in church web design and design from a developer's perspective. So Church Mag, I know, is always producing quality resources. So if you're looking at for some design ideas, you might want to check out those notes. I'll have them in the show notes as well. And then finally, one link from me to hourofcode.com, and this is a U.S. initiative that's coming up in December, I believe. They're hoping for the largest learning event in history, and I guess it isn't just U.S. I see a worldwide map here. So December 8th through 14th, they'd like for students to spend an hour coding to introduce children of all ages, students of all ages, to the world of computer programming. And they have a lot of resources out there to help with that, including, let's see if I can bring up this other link, specifically for K through 5 teachers, they have a series of professional development workshops being offered all across the United States. So if you're in K through 5, you can attend, I want to say it's a full day, 6 or 7 hours of preparation to help you know how to teach coding to your kindergarten through fifth grade students.
Cool.
And there's locations all over the place. Promises to be very professionally done and free. So check out workshop details near you.
And coding may sound very geeky and very not for you, But if you're technically inclined at all, there is a certain gratification in doing coding. I've been doing a lot of coding lately for an update to the Wells mobile app, and it'll certainly drive you crazy at times, but there's a certain satisfaction when you get something to work, that you've basically made something from scratch that you didn't know how to do before. So I think there's a lot of there's logic involved, and there's creativity involved too. So
excellent.
Let's remind everybody what's going on next week. We're returning to our book review. First things first, Making God Supreme in Our Productivity. For those of you following along at home, we'll be doing part one, which is chapters 1-4. So we're trying to kind of accelerate the process here. So it's a little bit of reading involved, but he obviously gets in. We just talked about the introduction last week. Now we get into some of the meat and potatoes of where this is all headed, and specifically why this is important. So that's coming up next week for our book review. The author again, Sally, was...
It's Matt Perman, and Matt the Perman. Book title is actually What's Best Next. That title, First Things First, is the title of Part 1. That's kind of the overarching title of those four chapters.
Next.
And I'm looking at it on Amazon. It looks like the Kindle version is only $3.79. So
look at that.
Can't get much better than that. Under $5 to read along with us
less
on the Kindle version.
Starbucks cup of coffee.
Yeah. Of course, okay. I'm a fan of the hardcover myself, but that's just me.
I know you are. Well, my copy has a hardcover glass surface.
Yeah.
Back. All right, what's our YouTube video of the week?
Well, very special. We want to feature Praise You, a song by Obadiah Christensen. Obadiah is the young son of Pastor Chris Christensen. We've played Pastor Christensen's music on the podcast before. He is Cross to Glory. That's right. And this past year, his young son Obadiah has been fighting cancer and just recently went home to heaven. And after he passed away, the family released this song that Obadiah wrote, praising Jesus. And his wish was to be a pastor, this young boy, and he definitely proclaims God's word in this song very faithfully. It's a really wonderful tribute to the life that he lived and continues to live in heaven. So
very moving. Have a clap ready.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
It's cool. Yeah. If you'd like to contribute to the show, it is so easy to do that. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net is the place to go. You can email us, wellstech@wells.net, or visit us on your favorite social network, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. And don't forget about the Wells Tech listserv. There's all kinds of good conversations that go on there, especially if you've got a question. You can find a link to that on our show notes page as well. Sally, thanks again. Safe travels. School them up good over there in Michigan and then Minnesota. And we will talk again next week. Thanks to all of you for joining us and joining the conversation. Blessings on your day and week. Bye-bye.